COVID-19 dampening things somewhat. I realize everyone has their opinions about what moms should do in this 21st century. Society collects these ideas and sketches a vast composite of ideal motherhood. But what makes an ideal mom, anyways? Knowing everything exactly right by the book, producing the perfect kids, wishful thinking. Listen to these, what we'll call unreachable ideals of a mom. Here they go. An ideal mom never burns her biscuits. An ideal mom appears instantly whenever any family member yells, "Mom!" An ideal mom knows exactly what clothes each child wants to wear for each day and has them all washed and mended and hung in the closets or folded and in their dresser drawer, ready for them to find. An ideal mom is always home when you call, always answers your text message right back. An ideal mom uses coupons or items on sale to save a minimum of $15 on each visit to a grocery store. Ideal mom never raises her voice. And before COVID-19, an ideal mom attended every sporting event of her kids, the hockey, the basketball, the soccer game, the gymnastics, or dance events. An ideal mom is always right there to wipe all of little Junior's runny noses. An ideal mom never says no to any of the PTA meetings. The ideal mom. Wow. She'd have to be a super mom to attain those ideals for sure. Those are unattainable ideals for the most part. No wonder moms feel a little like a failure at times trying to attain these unreachable ideals of a mom. No mom can attain this super mom identity. However, there are what I call reachable ideals that moms can attain. Ideals that mom can do with God's help and wisdom. And that's why I've entitled today's message, "What Caring Moms Do." And so on this special Mother's Day, I want to share with you what I believe to be the four reachable or attainable ideals of a caring mother. First of all, a caring mother is a protecting mother. I am told that when a mother partridge senses danger is at hand, perhaps an animal or a hunter stalking her, she'll run with one wing flapping away, pretending as though she can't fly or that she's been hurt, to get her prey to go after her rather than after her little ones. She'll risk her life, if you would, to protect her little ones. Moses' mother is a good example of a protecting mother. You may remember the story in Exodus chapter 2, how she made a basket for her little baby, and she put pitch on it, and she hid her little baby in that basket among the reeds along the river bank to hopefully save his life from the hands of the wicked Pharaoh of Egypt. She was willing to let Pharaoh's daughter, who found him, to take him as her son, just so Moses' life would be spared. A caring mother will do the same. She'll protect her little ones from the dangers lurking around or from people who take advantage of their kids. The pedophiles out there, for example, or the drug pushers. She sets boundaries of not getting into the cars of strangers or taking anything from a stranger. And the boundary of never to go out for a walk alone or never to be out alone after dark. I like how Paul writes to a young preacher by the name of Titus in Titus chapter 2, and he's dictating what older women should teach the younger women. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands to love their children, to be discreet chasters, chaste, and homemakers and good. The mothers. Did you notice how she described young mothers as keepers at home? The King James uses the word keepers at home. Others use homemakers. But the idea here is keepers at home. And the picture here is of a goaltender guarding his or her net to keep the puck out of the net, or a goalkeeper keeping the soccer ball out of the net is the picture here. A caring mother, like a goaltender, protecting his net from the puck going in, protecting her children from the wrong crowd. She warns them of evil companions and to avoid them, to not walk in the way with them, to not follow their footsteps, Proverbs 1:15 teaches us. She warns your children not to consent to the enticements of others to try and get them to join them in their evil deeds. She says to her children what wise King Solomon said to his son, Proverbs 1:10, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Do you see how the Bible is indeed the best parental guidebook out there? We just need to get one, and we just need to read it and find all of the truths and the applications to help us in our parenting. A caring mother protects and or warns her kids about the hazards of drugs and liquor and tobacco and the peers that do those things. A caring mother protects her children from the evils on the television or on the internet or of violent video games. She echoes the guideline of Proverbs or Psalm 101 verse 3 that says, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." That would be a good verse to put on a little card and put it in front of our television screen or our computer screen. "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." The principle here is of garbage in, garbage out. What you put into your mind will come out into your life, in other words. So we need to be careful what we put in front of our eyes of our children and even of our own eyes. This mother who protects your children reads the reviews on all the movies that her kids might watch. She has filters installed on their computer. She lays the law down on no usage of cell phone in the confines of their bedroom. All TVs and computer screens are in a central and visible location in the home. And that's just the way it is because she loves her kids. And she always has her kids' best interest at heart, and building into their lives proper morals and values about life. That's what caring moms do. Second, a caring mother is a loving mother. I don't know of anyone more loving on planet Earth than our mothers, do you? We can all attest to that, I'm sure. A loving mother loves their father, her husband. As Titus 2:4 says, the older women are to admonish, the idea there is to teach the young women to love their husbands. All the husbands out there saying amen to that, right, guys? Kids need to know this, though. They need to know that you, their mom, love their dad, and that builds trust in your kids. It builds security into your kids' lives. They need to hear you tell your husband that you love him and show it by holding his hand, by giving him a hug, and by not arguing in front of your kids. A loving mom, of course, loves her kids. Again, Paul writes in Titus 2 verse 4, the older women are to teach the younger women, notice what it says here, to love their children. She both tells them, "I love you," and she displays it to them by the many acts of love and kindness that she does for her children. A listening ear, a comforting word, a warm hug, or a loving touch on a fevered brow, a high five, and a good job on cleaning up your room, or tucking your kids in at night and reading a story with them and having a prayer with them. And she plays no favorites with her kids. She loves each of her kids just the same. One does not get more love, more attention than the other. That's what caring moms do. A loving mom provides healthy meals for her family. Proverbs 31:14 says that she goes to the grocery store and she brings her food home. And verse 15 of Proverbs 31 says she provides food for her household. Those good home-cooked meals. She finds those home healthy recipes on Pinterest or companies coming cookbooks or wherever. A loving mom makes sure that her children are clothed adequately. Not necessarily with brand name clothing. And they have much needed winter clothing. She makes sure of that, especially here in New Brunswick, right? Verse 21 of Proverbs 31 says, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. That is, clothed with warm clothing. A loving mother is an industrious woman. Proverbs 31 and verse 13 reads this way. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ship, and she brings her food from afar. She's an industrious woman. She's hardworking in the home and perhaps out of the home if need be. She hangs in there with the tough tasks of mothering when her body and her mind tell her to quit because she loves her family. That's what moms do. A loving mother is a generous woman. Verse 15 of Proverbs 31, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She's a generous woman. She's unselfish. She considereth others and their needs, and she's kind-hearted. She willingly shares with others in need. And a loving mother is a wise woman. Verse 16 says she considers a field and buys it for her profits. She plants a vineyard. She's perceptive. She's thoughtful. She's shrewd. She watches for the sales. She uses her shopping coupons. She shops on Kijiji and at other used clothing businesses. Anything to save a loony. Does much of her own baking and sewing, etc. She's frugal in her spending and she's not wasteful. That's what caring moms do. They love on their kids. The third reachable ideal, a caring mother, is a praying mother. Dear people, nothing will impact a child's life for Christ more than a praying mom. And amen to that. For sure. In the Bible, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, is the amazing story of a woman by the name of Hannah. She had been unable to conceive children, and in the Old Testament times, a childless or barrenless woman was considered a failure. She lived with this social stigma, if you would. But she believed that God would open up her barren womb and give her a child. So she prayed that God would do just that, that God would give her a child, and specifically a boy child she prayed for. And guess what? God heard her prayers. And God did another miracle in her life in opening up her womb to conceive a baby boy who she named Samuel, meaning heard of God. So she prayed for her son before he was born, and I'm sure she prayed for him after he was born, don't you? In fact, she did. You can see her amazing prayer in 1 Samuel chapter 2. After he was born, and as she praises God for who he is, which we all need to do, and also praising God and thanking God for answering her prayer in giving her a son. And she gives her son back to the Lord. It was the late President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, who once said, "No man is poor who has a praying mom." And he went on to say, "I remember my mother's prayers They have clung to me all my life. All the prayers of our mom and the impact that has upon our lives is huge. And you are truly rich and blessed if you have a praying mom. I know I have had a praying mom and a dad. Praying dad since and mom since the day I was born to this very day. And I have two praying grandmothers and a praying mother-in-law and a praying wife. And I am truly a rich man, if you would. Not financially rich, but spiritually rich. Wow. As the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, pray without ceasing. Now that, of course, doesn't mean that we're going around constantly uttering a prayer or we'd never get anything else done, right? It means to be in an attitude of prayer throughout the day. Something about your kids comes to your mind, you pray about it. Or you need help with being a mom, you pray about it. Or your kids need prayer about an issue in their lives, you pray about it. It's as you go about your day, you pray about things. You're in that attitude, that framework of your mind of prayer. It's like keeping the prayer line with God off of the hook 24/7. And as one anonymous quote I saw said, prayer is what we were created to do, and it works. How many believe that today? Amen. It does work if we do it. Are you a praying mom? One thing is certain, to see a mother or a father kneeling in prayer will never leave the memory banks of a child. A fourth reachable ideal, a caring mother is a teaching mother. Right now with COVID-19 isolation, many moms are becoming full-time teachers at home. Whether they want to be or not, they are becoming full-time teachers. And in some ways, that's a good thing. As it gives us more time to be with our kids, more time for moms to invest in their kids' lives and to make an impact upon their lives. No doubt a lot of you moms out there are pulling your hair thinking, let's get our kids back to their schools. Well, it's certainly giving you a deeper appreciation of our school teachers out there for sure, is it not? Unless some of you have been homeschooling all along, there's no change for you. As Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way in which he or she should go, and when he or she is old, they'll not depart from it. Isn't that a great promise? The word train here is the idea of teaching your child according to their natural bent in their lives, their character in their lives. As a teaching mother, she teaches her children certain rules to live by in their home. As Proverbs 1:8 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father. And then notice this, and do not forsake the law or the rules of your mother. Don't forsake them. Rules like picking up your toys, making their bed, putting dirty clothes in a hamper, cleaning your bedroom once a week before it turns into a pigsty, taking shoes off at the door and not leaving the table till food is all eaten, certain curfew hours to be in by, rules like not sassing back to dad or mom or there will be some consequences, rules for television and internet usage and video game usage, etc. She teaches her children by discipline or correction and consequences when those rules are broken or the child shows rebellion to you as their parent. There is discipline accordingly. She teaches her children to respect those who are their elders, the grandparents, the school teachers, the seniors, and respect for property of others, pushing the stork carts back into the stalls, and teaching a respect for God's creation, not littering beside the road or wherever. She teaches her children the things of God. Two women in the Bible who taught their kids and grandkids the things of God were Eunice and Lois. 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Eunice was Timothy's mother, who taught Timothy the things of God. And Lois was the grandmother who taught her grandson Timothy the things of God. So we see here the influence of both the Christian mother and the grandmother on their kids. What do we mean by the things of God? By the things of God, we mean things like teaching the Ten Commandments, found in Exodus 30, not to have idols in our lives. And God has certainly been stripping a lot of idols away from us these days with COVID-19. But also lies, not to steal, and commandments not to lie, not to kill, not to covet what their friends have, and commandment to obey their parents, etc. And then the things of God are teaching your children the two greatest commandments that Jesus taught in Matthew 20:23, I believe it is, to love God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And teaching them how to pray, using the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, and using that as a prayer model to teach your kids how to pray, and then to pray. And teaching them to read their Bibles every day. And it also means teaching and modeling them the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and meekness and faith and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. Remember, as I always say, more is caught than taught as the kids watch our lives. Oh, that we would be good examples, good models to our kids by how we live and how we model before them love and patience and kindness and gentleness and faith and self-control in our lives. The things of God means reading to your kids the Holy Bible. And it's teaching them about Jesus and how to have salvation through faith in Jesus. Timothy's mom, back in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Eunice and his grandmother Lois did this. Well, how do we know this? Well, listen to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 in the NIV, and it says, and how from infancy, Paul speaking to Timothy here, how from infancy, or Timothy's infancy, he has known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You see it here? It wasn't because an evangelist preached a powerful sermon that Timothy became a Christian. It was because Timothy's mother and grandmother had taught him the Holy Bible since he was a small child. Oh, how important and significant that is for our moms and grandmothers and our fathers and our grandfathers too. For the Christian mom, her greatest joy is in teaching her children to trust and to love Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's telling your kids of a life-changing message of the gospel. That is, that Jesus loves them and died for their sins and rose again the third day to give them new life and eternal life if they repent of sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord, so that they can live for Jesus every day and one day go to heaven to live with Him. And what a day, dear ones, that will be. It's telling them John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's everybody, that He gave His only begotten Son, He gave Jesus, that whosoever, any of us, can believe in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, friends, it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that you can have the gift of salvation and eternal life. It's not through the church, it's not through baptism, or communion, or through good works that I might do in my community or to my neighbor. Perhaps there are moms and dads and grandmothers and granddads out there today who need to become a Christian today by repenting of sin and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life today. Will you be wise unto salvation and choose to believe in Jesus Christ right now? Then you too can lead your kids and your grandkids to do the same. It would be the best Mother's Day ever if you would let Jesus come into your heart and into your home today. Your household would be forever changed for the better and ready for heaven. And that would be, friends, that would be the greatest thing ever. And you will find, when Jesus is in your heart and he's in your home, you'll become even a more loving and a more caring mom or dad than ever before. Wow, who wouldn't want that in their lives? Another song in tribute to our mothers out there today is a song entitled Medals for Mothers by Daniel O'Donnell. And it goes like this. I dreamed mother walked up those heavenly stairs, and medals for mothers were given up there. They mentioned the million things mom did for me, things I look or took for granted and never could see. If there's medals for mothers, for all the deeds that they have done, if there's medals for mothers, mama, you'll win every one. A medal of honor was pinned on her there. A medal for patience and kind, loving care. A medal for duty she won up there above. But the biggest of all was the one for her love. If there's medals for mothers, for all the deeds that they have done, if there's medals for mothers, mama, you'll win every one. We honor you, our moms, on this special Mother's Day. And we love each of you, our moms, and how we thank God for you. And we pray this high priestly prayer for each of our moms out there today who are connecting with us today. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you, our moms, and be gracious to you, and the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.